Thank you. Will the Senate Education Committee come to order, please? Today is Monday, April 8th, 2013. Time is 8:02 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens chairing, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, Senator Gardner, and Senator Stedman. So we have a quorum to conduct business. And today we're going to take up Senate Bill 15 relating to pre-kindergarten programs in the state. We have Senate Bill 15 before us. Senator French. Good morning. Pleased to have you with us.
Good morning, Senator Stevens. For the record, my name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate.
Thank you. And we've had a chance to hear this bill. Any additional comments you have, or maybe give us a quick preview of it, if you would?
Actually, I'll just I have one thing that we were not able to get to last time, and that was a exit interview done with Carol Como after she left her a long and distinguished tenure at the Anchorage School District. And she was interviewed by the Anchorage Humanities Forum and asked if she had any regrets about her time. And if I could read to the committee what she said.
Yes, please.
She said, the biggest regret I feel is more of a statewide issue. We worked really hard over the last 12 years to get legislators and governors to understand how important preschool is, especially for kids who are in Title I schools. Families who are struggling just don't have the money to send their kids to an excellent preschool. They don't have a lot of books in their homes. So when we have a large number of our kids who come to us very far behind in kindergarten every year compared to kids who come from what I call enriched backgrounds, the discrepancy of kids coming in the door in kindergarten is huge. So many little kids never catch up. And so she went on to say that her biggest regret was not sort of pushing harder to get more of a statewide preschool program started in Alaska.
Thank you, Senator. Could you just run through the funding issue with us? So it's a half fund. It's a half day.
It's a half day program as kindergarten is. Thank you, Senator. And it is the fiscal note, I believe, is large, or it's on the high side, given that the fiscal note anticipates that every single eligible child will attend the very first day the pre-K becomes available. And frankly, I think you might be able to expect it to be quite a bit less than that. You could also structure the program such that you only made it available to a third of the kids 1 year, two-thirds the next year, and the rest of the year after that, and sort of scale it out that way to see if school districts have the space, have the trained-up teachers ready to implement, because you want it to be quality. There's no point in having a low-quality preschool.
Right. Thank you, Senator. Questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Did you consider starting out by offering it to, say, Title I schools or having a needs-based approach that it'd be available to those of certain income limits?
Senator Gardner, through the chair, you know, we did think about that, and there's a lot of discussion in the literature about whether to aim it at lower-income kids. I guess I'll say it's worth saying that Head Start serves that population, not all of that population, but that's what Head Start's aimed at. Head Start's aimed at Title I kids, and so there's some advantage now for lower-income kids. My view is it has to be available to everybody. Well-off parents are going to continue probably to send their kids to Montessori school and programs like that, but it's lower-income, it's working-class parents, which frankly are the majority of Alaskans. And so, my view is it has to be available. The school doors have to be open to everyone who walks in them.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And I would agree with that, but just as a practical matter, if funding is not available for everybody, if you say, for example, we might start with a third or two-thirds, which third, or just first come, first serve, which again would tend to favor those who are on top of things, which often isn't the neediest population.
It's a great policy discussion, and I agree it's an issue. My view is make it available to everybody. That's the best, and just go geographically, and that way you start, say, in Southeast and build it out from there so that you're not excluding anybody. I just picked Southeast just off the top of my head.
The otters don't need any remedial training at all. Senator Dunleavy.
They may need to if we start hunting them. Anyway, Senator French, the only thing it says, I applaud your, it's not really a joke. I applaud your attempt to include all Alaskans and to want to fund all Alaskans to get a quality education. I share your desire to do that for all Alaskans. I mean, you're working at you're working at a pre-K level on an educational bill. I'm working on a K-12 level on a bill. I'm just saying I share your desire, and if we're going to include all Alaskans, it's going to cost some money. I mean, I think the questions are legitimate at the end of the table, how much and how do you do it. But I'd sure hate to pick groups and deny groups the ability to use public funds to educate their children.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, it's an excellent comment. It's an extremely difficult policy choice. Once you say we're going to do something less than everybody, once you say you're going to do something less than everybody, you've got some very excruciating decisions to make, and I'd prefer not to make them.
Senator, could you talk a little bit about the pilot program? I don't think we've discussed that very much, but it might be good to review that and talk about its successes or failures.
Thank you, Senator. And I have kept from my time on the Education Committee when we got annual reports about the pilot pre-K, I've kept my reports, and you can see I've marked them all up with yellow tabs, and I'd be happy to go through each tab one at a time because there's some stunning information in here. And let me just start with this graph. This is a graph that shows the vocabulary of children as they age from 0 to 36 months. And you can see the lower green line is for kids who are essentially from welfare families. And their vocabulary stalls out around, I think it's around, 300 words. That's the number of words they can use when they get to be 36 months. kids from working class families have about 600 words at their disposal when they get to age 36 months. This is all from the report that the pilot program put out. And college-educated children from college-educated families have almost double the number, almost 1,200 words at their disposal at age 36 months. So this is what Carol Como was talking about when she says that children come into pre-kindergarten with vastly different backgrounds and vastly different abilities. Kids from enriched backgrounds come in with 1,200 words, and they're right at the top of the heap. Kids from working class, about half. Welfare parents, even fewer. And so I think it's hard for a lot of us who are not professional educators to really understand just how we look at all three-year-olds and think, well, they're all about the same. They're all exactly the same. They're cute little tykes. But educators who can tell the difference say, no, some are really far behind and some are really far ahead. And that's why the results from the scores are so powerful. When you look at the test results and are told that 77% of our kids enter the program in the bottom two quartiles in the fall of the year, and by the spring of the year, 28% have moved from the bottom two quartiles to the top two, you can really see individual lives are changing. Those kids that didn't have the advantage of college-educated parents, who didn't come from enriched backgrounds, who don't have lots of books in their home, go to a professional educator, a structured setting. It's not daycare. You're in the hands of a good curriculum and people who know what they're doing, suddenly have a real chance at a decent education. And literally, these reports are just full of statistics like that. It's hard to find any sort of negative within the numbers. And they were very careful to measure this. I think the Department of Education was skeptical, but I think they wanted to make sure they measured it very accurately. They didn't want to sort of send the state down a bad road. And so the numbers are just very powerful throughout all 3 years. The last report just came out in November of 2012, and same thing. It continued to show 80% of the children exceeded expectations and showed from 1 month to two or more years of growth beyond what they would have expected from that same age range. So still very, very strong results the third year into the program.
Thank you very much, Senator. For the comment, Senator Dunleavy.
And again, Senator French, through the chair, the fiscal note is about $46 million. Is that correct? Full implementation?
But correct, yes. Thank you. Through the chair.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much, Senator French. We'll ask the department if they have any response. Mr. Morris, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. For the record, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Education Early Development. We're really here to answer any questions that the committee might have and speak to the fiscal note should there be any questions around that specifically.
Could you just reflect on the comments we just heard from Senator French on the pilot program and how that worked out and if that gives us an indication of success of a pre-K program?
Well, I don't have all the data right in front of me. I've reviewed it a lot and have presented it earlier in the session to committees. The data from the program actually did point out that our pre-K program that we piloted and now are continuing at least to implement for this fiscal year and next fiscal year had success in terms of the data outcomes that were in there. And those data pieces looked at individual student performance as well as program itself performance. And so we have a full report. We could certainly forward that to the committee if you want to have that for your deliberations. For me to speak to the individual data, I'd have to refresh myself on that. The other thing that some of the committees asked about was access to pre-K programs in our state, and our person who's the expert in that area talked about having low access, but of the programs we had good solid programs, and the data seemed to put that forward.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Further questions from the committee? Ms. Syndergaard.
Thank you. I'd like to see the report that you on the pre-K.
If you would just provide it to our staff, Katrina or Tim, and we'll make sure we get it out to everybody.
We will do that.
Thank you. Further questions? Again, thank you very much, Ms. Morris. We'll go to public comments. We have Mike Coons on, I believe. Mr. Coons, is he here or is he on the end? Okay. We have Mr. Coons on the off net. Mr. Coons.
Yes, sir. Senator Stevens, members of the committee. My name is Mike Coons. I'm from Lazy Mountain, Senator Dyson's district, and I'm speaking for myself.
Thank you.
As to SB 15, I sent to all members a series of questions about aspects of this bill. The key questions, though, are, one, is this part of Common Core, the government's cradle-to-grave education plan for the states? Two, what will it cost? Three, what is the bang for the buck? Real quick, based on Senator French's comments, the former superintendent's comments still don't make sense. I never attended and know many, many people who have never attended preschool and graduated high school and went on to excellent careers. As to the government trying, we have spent $1 trillion with no change in the poor percentages at 15%. So how does this help? I've heard people who are so concerned about how others raise their children that we must take the progressive mantra and ensure that the children are raised in a nice utopia where mommy and daddy are no longer important because the progressives know better. Of course, this has been tried before with great results. Mommy and daddy say things against the school or government. Mommy and daddy have guns. And mommy and daddy spank their child. So mommy and daddy go to re-education camps, formerly called gulags. I'm sure Russia has a few still going today. So is this why it's necessary to take a child who wants nothing more than being a child, playing, having fun, bonding with mommy and daddy, before they have to spend 12 years of their lives being force-fed in the school? Sure, there are bad parents out there who don't read to their kids, but is reading to a kid really a bad, big thing? My parents didn't read to me. Well, I don't honestly remember being 4 or 5 too much. I do know that my dad instilled in me a love of reading after, I guess, about the third grade. To this day, I have to have a book to read. I have reread several in my library because the book is like an old friend that you come back to time and again. So what will this cost? We already spend 80% of my property taxes on schools, so how much more of my property taxes do we spend for this? The economy is in the toilet, and even progressives' own man, Barack Obama, has said you don't raise taxes in a recession. So why would we want to spend more for what? So what is the bang for the buck? Let's see. Child care centers may see a drop in their business, so they have to lay off workers, so more people unemployed. I don't think that is such a big bang for the buck. As I wrote this, I heard the sounds of birds chirping while thinking about the progressive bang for the buck. Let kids be kids for 2 or 3 more years. The progressives get them all too soon enough to fill their little sponge brains with their views versus the real world, I call upon this committee to kill this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. Any questions of Mr. Coons? Thank you, Mike. Do we have anybody else willing to testify, interested in testifying? Then we will close the public hearing portion and ask, is there any discussion, members here at the table?
Sir, done later. The next committee referral is it finance?
Yes, it's finance. And of course, you know, we can sort of consider fiscal issues as we've talked about them, but our main concern is educational. And it'll go on to, if it passes out of here, go on to finance, where it'll be carefully scrutinized for the cost.
Right.
For the discussion?
Well, just, I mean, realistically, given this time of the year, if it goes to finance with the financial note attached to it, it may not necessarily get the movement that you're probably looking for. That's all.
Thank you. I suspect that's right, that it's an issue of such magnitude and cost that it's going to take considerable discussion in finance before it moves on. Senator Stebbins.
Mr. Chairman, we have a 120-day session, so we never know what's
going on. Stop saying that, if you would, please. It's always good to be reminded. Thank you, sir. Senator Dunleavy.
I move SB 15-LS-02-0273 version A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you, Senator Levy. Is there any disagreement with that? If not, it is so moved, and we are adjourned.
Mr. Chairman,